So by resurrection, it means that it can tolerate extremes of environmental stresses. It can lose up to 90% of its relative water content and remain in that state for days, weeks, and months. And when it does receive water, it will actually resurrect, which means that existing tissue, which were dehydrated, will recover rather than just producing new fresh tissue.
How did you go about researching the properties of this grass that mean it can virtually come back from the dead?
Basically, what we had noticed is that when a dry plant had water added to it, it was the pre-existing tissue that would come back, not new growth. So what that meant is that the cells were alive even when they were dry at relative water content below 5%. So based on that, we looked at different strategies that plants and all cells for animals and plants can use to suppress cell death pathways. So one of the mechanisms that this resurrection plant uses is that it increases the amount of triolose, a small reducing sugar, which most land plants do not accumulate to great levels. And we believe that it uses this sugar to regulate pro-survival pathways. These pathways are also present in animals and have been utilised more recently for treatment of neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's and Huntington's disease.
So clearly this could possibly have implications for drought tolerance in crops. How do you foresee this benefiting the drought tolerance in crops?
We have been unpacking and trying to understand what are some of the mechanisms and strategies this plant uses that allows it to tolerate such extreme conditions. And out of this year, we are actually identifying some of the strategies that we could apply to other crop plants. Part of this could be looking at what are the genes and regulatory systems that it has and switches on that allows it to cope under such severe stress. And whether a single gene from this plant, when transferred to a crop plant such as chickpea or mung bean or rice, could literally enhance its stress tolerance.
When these so-called resurrection plants are under stress to the point where they're virtually dead, when they're brought back to life effectively by adding water, is their performance reduced in any way? Are they alive but really not performing?
No. One of the key traits of resurrection plants is that they respond to water stress very, very quickly, more so than sensitive plants. And then typically when you do add water, within 48 to 72 hours, they've regained full metabolic activity.
As you would imagine, Inaman, there's a growing demand for plant-based proteins globally. And as we see, really significant growth in the middle class, in Asia, and in the Indian subcontinent. So crops such as chickpea provide such a source of protein. Now, if we within Australia want to play into those markets and expand our industries, we need to look at how we could better equip our crops, particularly chickpea, that will allow us to expand the growing areas and increase the market share.
What is the next step, therefore, for this research?
To further investigate how exactly that is regulated, and we have reason to believe that it's the way that the plant's balancing energy metabolism. So these plants, the resurrection plants, even when they're drying out, unlike a majority of other plants, will not flower. They suppress flowering. And to me, that makes sense because as the plant's running out of water, it's going to run out of energy. The land around that plant is going to be dry, so why would it want to flower and set its seed if there's no water around for that seed to germinate, when these plants can actually tolerate drying? Most land plants can't tolerate drying, so they have to set their flowers. This one's the opposite. Once you've watered it, quickly after it's rehydrated, it will set seed and flower. So it's investigating how exactly the plant regulates and manages that energy metabolism between survival and then setting seed and things like that, which I think would be particularly interesting.